2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back to the Beat the Bookie podcast by Sportsbet Army. I am Alan Seslowski, the host, here with my friend John Alicia, a.k.a. Statsational. It's been a few minutes since we did one of these pods, John. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Probably been a little busier than most people in these last months. If anyone's looking at this in the future, we are still in the midst of a quarantine here, so...
Yeah, today is we're May 6, 2020, and we apologize to our loyal listeners that have been paying attention to the Beat the Bookie podcast. We took a little break on the podcasting to focus on some of the other stuff, but John and his team over there at Sportsbet Army have been rocking the esports and the Korean baseball, and we'll get into all that, but we came up with a topic today that we thought was really interesting, and it was spawned by a conversation that John and I had about when you see these probabilities for future events and how do they actually assign those probabilities. So I found this a fascinating topic. John, give us the layman's terms of what we're going to talk about today before we jump into it.
Yeah, so I've been wanting to do this type of podcast or this topic on the podcast for a few weeks, and specifically because everyone's kind of have been home doing not a lot of anything these days. So what I wanted to talk about was value on future events. That is, how do we put a probability on events, even if they're not sports related, but sports related also, how do we put the probability on that and then in turn take that probability, of course, and figure out what the proper odds would be. So, things like the future president, who's going to win the Democratic nomination, who's going to win the presidency, will Aaron Rodgers play for a team other than Green Bay Packers in starting game one in 2021. You know, you can make any one of these things up, and that's and if you, of course, if you go to your sports book and look at some of these events, they're going to have some sort of an odds on there. But how do you really know at least what you think the odds are outside of, I think, what most people do? And if I asked you, Alan, what's the odds of Trump winning the presidency, you would probably just in your head say, oh, I don't know.
4-1 or whatever. I would probably say
you would come up with a number in your head. But I just kind of wanted to go into some of the ways that you can come up with maybe a little bit more of a solid number. And it's going to be, obviously, it's going to be based on the input that you put in. But I want to get you thinking about all of the variables and how to come up with that number and then go and look at the odds.
Right. So what I'm taking from this is that it's, when you're talking about like live betting within a game, there's actual math you could do. But when you're talking about something like the presidency, you don't know how the landscape is going to change. The odds on the presidency were different before good news comes out, after bad news comes out. So how do you handicap that? And when you look at like death pools, I mean, are you sitting there trying to pull medical records? I saw those crazy odds they had on like who will die first, Charlie Sheen or Magic Johnson. I mean, it was these crazy bets. Like, how do they determine this? So this is like a really good topic. And obviously that one is more novelty and joke. But let's start with something that is that we see in our everyday wagering life, which is win probability of a team, like which team Tom Brady will play for was another good one. But now we're in the one where will Aaron Rodgers be playing for Green Bay? So sure. Pick a specific example and talk us through exactly the mindset and how you do calculate that.
Now it's going to be different for everyone, right? Because obviously we're going to, this is almost like modeling, and there's been a lot of talk in the news about modeling when it's come to the coronavirus and COVID-19. And you've heard all these experts talk about modeling. Well, the model's only as good as what you put into it, which is 100% true. Anyone who's modeled anything knows that, a model's worthless if the data you have is worthless, right? So with that said, and which one were we talking about? Like an Aaron Rodgers here?
Sure, sure. Just like, you know what, that's good, because that's a mainstream example.
Yeah, I mean, again, you can sit there. So on, I think if any of us watched the draft, our first thought was, well, wow, what's going to happen to Aaron Rodgers? Is it, you know, my initial thought was, well, obviously he's not going to play for Green Bay at some point. He's not going to finish his career, at least, in Green Bay. And I still stand by that. But if you want to actually now start taking the numbers, you've got to come up with you've got to look at history. And we're all, and you guys are going to come up with ideas that maybe I'm not thinking of, right? Actually, let's start with the president first, because that's a little easier. The Aaron Rodgers one's a little tougher to dissect. Not that it's easier to figure out, but let me start with that one first, just so you get an idea where my mind is when I'm thinking of those things. So we actually had a discussion in the Slack chat for Sports Bet Army. I would say maybe January. Let's say it was January, December, January. On we were talking about betting on the Democratic nominee and also the president, who's going to win the presidency. And someone had bet Bernie Sanders, and I had said there was zero chance. Now, right off the bat, I'm 100% wrong, right?
There's no zero chance.
And right. if anyone takes anything out of this podcast, I want you to take the get yourself, and I need to do it myself, get yourself out of the mindset that, well, that's definitely going to happen, or that's definitely not going to happen, because that's just not how the world works, right?
People lose college funds thinking like that.
Exactly. So get yourself out of that mindset. And again, I have to do it too. But when you get in a heated topic, you know, you're always either you're always 100% right. The other person is always 100% wrong. But if you're doing this and you're being honest with yourself, obviously there is no zero and a 100% probability on anything until it actually happens. So with that said, if I'm looking at, in the discussion, again, like we were having with Bernie, and I said at that time, well, if the economy stays how it's been, unemployment stays at the level it has been or in that range, the stock market, of course, was doing extremely well, then I would put, you know, something like a 65% chance on Trump to win. But as we know, there are variables. So it's not like, as you are further away, time, and I could get into, if I don't want to get too much into like trading, the trading world, but with option trading, of course, the more time you have out in that option, the more uncertainty, right? So options, there's things called theta. I'm not going to get into all that thing, but when you have more time to look at this sort of bet, of course, there's more variables that could come in. And when you're talking about the president, what are those variables that are going to change whether the president, who the president's going to be? One of the most important ones, you have to go back in history and look at the economy, right? So the reason I was so bullish on Trump at that point was because the economy was doing really well.
Now, let's make the distinction. You were bullish on Trump as a betting favorite, not necessarily as a political...
No. As a bet, as... No, exactly.
Right.
Things are taken out of context
all the time. So I want to make sure to clarify that Sports Bet Army does not have political leanings.
Our only political leanings are in
the Benjamin and George Washington and Lincoln.
That is correct.
The guys that are printed on the fiat currency. Those are our presidential leans.
100%. So so when I was looking at, as a matter of fact, when you say that, I worked with a guy, and when we were having this discussion, I worked with a phenomenal analyst, brilliant guy. And he's about as far left without being, you know, Antifa as you can get. And I messaged him and I said, where are you putting Trump? Because I know it's part of his analysis on the markets is what he thinks of the upcoming elections. And he had it at 70%. He had actually been buying Trump at like 45% when he was trading at like 45.
Meaning writing tickets, like taking. Yeah. Okay. All
right. So he was making those bets. But anyway, I want to get into now, what are the factors? So again, one is just strictly, hey, well, where are the polls at right now? Right. That would be one obvious place I would look. And I'm not giving you the, there is no exact science to this, right? So there's the science and then there's the art. The art is, well, what factors do you want to add into your little model here? And the science is, do I have any hard, cold facts, and data to put into that model. So the data you would have, of course, are the polls. And if you take as many polls, you want to take an aggregate whenever you're doing most things. And that could be a topic for another day. But I want to take an aggregate because the aggregate's going to be a lot more reliable than just looking at the Gallup poll. This is what Nate Silver does when he's starting to, when he's looking at predicting elections. He's looking at an aggregate. He's, you know, he might be weighing certain polls more than others. So if you're just extremely smart and you follow politics closely, maybe there's, you know, a certain weight that you want to put on certain polls. But anyway, I would look at that. I would look at the, obviously the polls. I want to see where the president is in relation to maybe at the time Bernie was the leader. Now it would be Joe Biden, let's say. Where is he in relation to the poll? And then we also know that winning the popular vote doesn't necessarily mean you win the election.
As we saw in the last election.
And we've seen it a couple of times here in the last few elections.
Right.
So now a smart person would say, well, where is he polling in the places that matter most, the states that matter most, and even the counties that matter most? So if you want to really dig deep and try to find that information. So you could really start getting into that. Then you say, okay, those numbers are really based on if this event was happening today. Because the polls are just a snapshot of whenever the poll was taken. Usually right. There's a little lag time on that. So now you have to factor in what are all the things, you know, here we are early May, right? So we've got, 6 months for the,
let's say we got, election. Yeah, it was exactly
almost
6 months.
For the day.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a lifetime in politics, especially in the home stretch. I mean, 6 months a year ago is different than 6 months now.
Right. So now we've got more information, obviously, than we did back in December or January. We've got this coronavirus. So now you have to figure out, okay, what are the probabilities of this of the coronavirus? Because then you have to say, does this thing get worse here? Do we have an outbreak? Do we have does it get better here for the summer? And does it pick up in the fall? By the time November comes around, we're back in quarantine. You know, you have to now start adding all these factors in. And if we're back in quarantine, is that a benefit to Trump?
Is that
a hindrance to Trump? You know, this is, I don't have the answers to that. If I had the answers, you know, I'd be a genius. I don't. But what I'm saying is you have to now factor all these things. What's going to happen to the economy? Is presumably the economy is going to be worse than we're thinking now if we have another outbreak.
Is that the main driver? Is the economy usually the main driver of a...
You just don't see presidents... you don't see a sitting president lose an incumbent when the economy is doing well. So it's very rare. Also, when you are in the middle of a war, you typically don't see the president. Right. So that's another factor. Hey, what's the probability an actual war starts here with China or Iran or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
These are all factors, whether they may be a 1 or 2% factor or 1 or 2% chance of something like that right. happening, but you factor that in. What's the probability Trump is not alive or what's the probability Joe Biden's not alive?
Biden loses his mind.
What's the probability Biden doesn't even get the nomination?
You know, it's funny you say that. I want to stop you there, and I don't mean to interrupt your flow because you are flowing right now, but that is, you know, seems to be a very popular narrative. One that I thought was I was unique on, but I realized that it's not unique to me. That people are saying that whoever Joe Biden picks is more likely going to be up there on the stage. That he's just not going to survive the heavyweight matchup with Trump. I guess that's interesting that is a factor, you know, in your calculation. So go ahead. I didn't mean to stop you there.
No, that's fine. So these are all. You know, these are all the factors that you need to now put in to figure out just exactly will it be Trump or will it not be? And no matter how minute you think that probability, you know, if the chances are whatever the probability you take, how do you come up with the probabilities that someone may die? Now, I don't have, you know, you don't have necessarily know Trump or Biden's exact medical. You know, you're not their doctor, and their doctor wouldn't have a good.
I don't know my own medical.
Exactly, but you know the problem. You know the age of the person.
Right.
You know, you start. This is how I'm. I'm just giving you how I would calculate these things. But yeah. So the point of this whole exercise was: hey, we've got a very sort of simple thing where if we were at a bar talking and we said, hey, what do you think the probability of Trump getting elected are? And you would say, I don't know, he's probably 50-50 to win. Okay, I mean, that's reasonable. But if we're doing that, if we're trying to do this and actually make a prediction and make a bet, the way you would want to do it is now add all these factors in. So I just want to show you the process in something that's a fairly simple bet and what you might want to put in. And you guys might be thinking of other factors out there, like, as hopefully I gave you some ideas and you're like, oh, well, there's this, that, you know, there's who knows, the probability of a scandal on with either candidate, or right, you know, the sexual allegations against Biden,
and
maybe
and nowadays
true.
And nowadays if that scandal even matters, I mean, any of the
matter.
Think about this, you know, and again, I only have these thoughts, that's why I interrupt you, but would Bill Clinton's scandal, if it happened to Trump today, would it even matter? If they found out Trump had a stained, there was a woman with a dress that had, you know, stain on it, this, that, it seems like it wouldn't even matter today. So it's like, do those scandals even matter anymore? Is, you know, it should figure into the calculation.
It's going to, you know, it depends on the person, and Trump has been able to,
he's bulletproof.
Yeah. Because it's almost like, you know, if you, just his personality, and he's basically he's that guy, and everyone knew he was that guy. So
right,
you can't really embarrass me.
You own it.
Right. So it's you know,
all right,
unfortunately, that could be the new that might be the new politician.
Yeah, it's hard not to steer into this stuff. I know for the people watching.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, and they want the sports betting advice. We'll get there, but you know, these and we won't focus tomorrow. But it is a phenomenon that I'm greatly interested in, and I'm not leaning one way politically or the other as far as that. I just I find it all fascinating. So get back to it, John.
Right. So that's it. So I just want to give you the one bet, and you trying to analyze that one bet. You know, if this was the day before the election or the day of the election, you'd really just be kind of looking at polls. The whole economy wouldn't matter. The economy is not going to collapse in the next few hours. You know, the probability now of one of the candidates dying is not going to be great. But of course, as we have time, there's more factors involved. Natural disaster, war. Again, throw all these things into the pot. Things that you may not think of when it comes to one singular bet. I think the point I'm trying to get across is when we look at it, we don't maybe necessarily look at all these other factors or even know how to bring all these factors in. So then how do we do that? It's a real simple way. Let's just assume that we know for sure that if the, again, now unemployment numbers are through the roof, so we're at a time that we've never seen before. But let's say the unemployment was at 3.5%, and we said, you know, anything under, if we stay under 4%, then I'm gonna say that nothing here changes, and then I think Trump, whatever percentage I give Trump today, is the same percentage I'm gonna give him if the unemployment number stays under 4%. So let's just say that's your view. Now you have to figure out, well, what's the probability that unemployment stays under 4%, and then there's a bunch of factors that go into that. I find this stuff fascinating. Some people may say, man, that sounds like a lot of work, but I find it really fascinating. There's a book.
Let me tell you, anyone that's tuned into this podcast finds it fascinating too. No one that's bored by this kind of geek stuff, this nerd stuff, is tuned out, because like you and I, we love this stuff, and any of our watchers, the many of them, they love it. So do not steer away from the details for a second here. I'm enjoying this.
Okay, good. No, I hope everyone does.
And oh, then, they do.
Well, there's a book. So there's a book called The Super Forecasters that I've read a couple of years ago. Actually, I was just looking it up on Amazon, so I bought it back in 2017. And I enjoyed it very much. It was a great, it's a great read, and it gave me a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts. I don't always read, you know, people have asked me about books, sports betting specific book. You know, a lot of sports betting books and gambling books aren't that great, but it's the books that aren't necessarily geared towards sports betting, because look, nobody's putting their secret formula in a sports betting book. They're going to give you a lot of, you know, if you're new to sports betting, there's plenty of good books out there to kind of get you to give you a good background on how to bet on sports and what to look at. But I like I like books that aren't necessarily geared towards sports betting. Super Forecaster is not a sports betting book at all, but it's a book on how to do, how to predict things in the future, and a story about how it was actually government sponsored, and they took a group of people, or they took a bunch of people from all walks of life. You had engineers, you had housewives, you had people, doctors, all sorts of different people who wanted to participate in this experiment. And they gave them things like, who, you know, very simply, who's going to win the next election. But then they gave them more complex ones like, will there be conflict between Israel and
Palestine,
Iran, or Israel and Palestine by whatever date? And then they gave them stuff that wasn't necessarily binary, things that might have four outcomes. And what you would do is, and they actually still have, they've run contests online. It's called the Good Judgment Open, I think. Is the name of it, and it's from the Super Forecasters book. And what you do is you put a probability on each one of the events that they give you, the questions that they give you, you put a probability on. And like I was saying, your probability is going to change. So my probability, let's just say after all said and done, I come up with a 55% number on Trump. That's my number, I think, probability of Trump to win. Well, tomorrow things change. Things get better, things get worse, I don't know. And I very slightly am moving my prediction. You know, tomorrow, I think the world looks a lot better tomorrow. Whatever, you know, we get some really good news coming out here about, you know, vaccine or cure or whatever, the economy is upticking. I move them to 57%. Very so slight.
It's a dynamic model.
It's dynamic. And what happens is what they found out was the people who stayed on top of it and were updating their probabilities daily made better predictions. So they were the ones, and there's a formula. Maybe we'll post it maybe on Twitter or something like that. The formula. It's very simple. So basically you're taking a probability of something happening is 100. When it happens, you get a score of 100. You get a score of 0 when that does not happen. And then the difference between what your probability was and the outcome squared. Again, it's easier to see it in formula base, but the higher your number, the better you did. Really interesting book. I think it's worth reading, and it'll give you an idea of how you should be thinking about these type of events. And when you want to start putting a probability, again, you'll come up with a probability, and then it's real easy to calculate from there what the odds are. So when you're seeing something, when you're seeing future bets, especially on these odd events, not necessarily always, on the field type of events where a win total, a Super Bowl future total, things like that, these type of events. So if you took an Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I'll ask you, like, what other factors have to go into Aaron Rodgers not being the quarterback? Let's say I gave you a date of not, it won't happen this year. Let's say, what's the probability of game one, 2021, Aaron Rodgers is the Green Bay quarterback? Like, what would you think? What do you think some of the
What would I think that Aaron Rodgers, like, so obviously, so you want me to name the factors or a percentage?
Well, give me a percentage, and then okay. Give me, like, what would you think you would put in? Okay. If you actually sat there with a pen and paper,
okay.
What would
so you I'm think gonna, about? I'm going to say that day one that Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback is about 10 to 15%. And I would say injury. Sure. Would be one factor. Okay. I would say the other low probability factor is public embarrassment over the drafting of Jordan Love in the first round. And they have to, and they force a trade him. Somebody makes them a Godfather offer that they can't refuse. Hey, I'm going to give you four first round picks. So the Godfather offer, injury, and turmoil with the first round pick. Those would be the three major factors that went into it for me.
That, and then also how well does he look in practice?
Well, again, I have certainty that Aaron Rodgers, one of the Mount Rushmore QBs, even at this late stage of his career, is still one of the best 10, 12 QBs in the league. So I have no question about actual deterioration. So, or it would be such a small factor. I wouldn't factor it into my calculation. So, but that's my amateur calculation, you know? So, but if you're saying there is a chance that he's completely dropped off the cliff for performance.
Well, you've got that. You do have to factor some of that in, but also what I mean is, like, how does Love look?
Right.
Right. So if he doesn't look good, going to be less apt to move Rodgers out.
You know, okay, okay. So it's not how good Rodgers looks; it's how bad Love looks, or how raw he is.
That was my thinking going into the Mahomes rookie season.
Because interesting.
You had Alex Smith, who we have a good idea of who Alex Smith. Alex Smith's been a very quality. He's been a quality quarterback. He's been a winning quarterback. He could have potentially won a Super Bowl in either San Francisco or Kansas City, but he's not that upper echelons guy.
Right. He's the definition of a guy you can win when the conditions around you are good.
Give him a good defense and certainly you have the right offense there in Kansas City. But you take a guy like Andy Reid, who's been around, and you say, well, he's getting rid of a guy who he's real close to winning with. And he's going to go with a young kid. Andy Reid's pretty bright. You know, I was fairly bullish on Patrick Mahomes. I don't think anyone predicted what Mahomes was going to be.
No.
But you said this guy's got to be pretty good if he's willing to take a shot at the team with a team who can win right now. So you have to factor – you got to factor all these things in. And that's what I'm saying was I think, you know, rightly, and I did it that night, was my gut reaction was there's no way Aaron Rodgers is going to be here in 2021. You also have to take his personality into account. You know, he's not the type of guy who's just going to be like, all right, well – I'm gonna be a good mentor to this kid, and
personality, right? Yeah. That's a variable that you know that can't be measured.
Right, very hard. So what I'm trying to give everyone the idea is what start thinking of future events. And now that we're kind of most people at least are home, and there are some fascinating events in the world right now between the coronavirus and there's geopolitical issues. You got huge elections coming up. Things of that sort. Give yourself little tests, put them out to a week, 1 week, 1 month events, and test yourself every day. Just come up with these things.
How do you know if you're right though? Like, how do you know?
You have to come up with something that you have definitive answers to. The amount of people testing positive for the coronavirus by May the 15th.
And then see what the actual numbers are and see how far off you are and then try to figure. Okay, that's interesting.
But what you want to do is put it in terms of percentages. I don't know what the total number is. Let's say deaths in the United States reach 100,000 by June 1st. Put a probability on that. And then on June 1st.
But how do you know if you're right or wrong though? Because let's say you were right, but you had a percentage of 10% on it.
That's right.
I mean, but... You know, how do you know
that? No. So you're going to say you come up with the number, like I said, 100,000. What have we had? About 60,000, some odd deaths. So just whatever the number is that you want to make it. And then say, according to the make it specific, the Johns Hopkins website, let's say 150,000 or 100,000 deaths, put a probability on over 100,000 deaths, put a probability on over 150,000 deaths. And then you'll know you're right because on the specific time that you said midnight of, May 15th, go on the Johns Hopkins website, here's the number, and say, okay, I was right. Now, your number today should certainly not be the same number you have on May the 15th and May 14th. The way they do it in the super forecasters is we're here on May 6th. I'm going to put a prediction in. I'm going to say that's, whatever the number, it's a 60% chance we're over 100,000 deaths on May the 15th. And that's my number today. Tomorrow, it looks, things are getting worse. I'm going to put a 65% number on tomorrow. Things are getting better. I'm going to drop my number down to 50. So you can do it on a daily basis. You don't have to do it every day. And then what they do in the contest is they average your score. So again, you need that formula to come up with your score, but then they average your scores. So the more on top of it you are and the closer to the event, of course, it should be easier to predict. Unlike sports, the closer you, although it's true in sports. I mean, the Super Bowl, right? So the Super Bowl futures, I certainly have a better idea who's going to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the playoffs than I did before the season starts.
Right, but the odds reflect that.
And the odds reflect it.
Right.
Because they're always changing. So what I want to do is just get people to, I think it's a cool exercise to get into anyway. And you can do it in really anything, the stock market.
Can you do it with events that already have a predetermined outcome? Like who's going to win the Oscar, or is it not valid because somebody already knows who's going to win the Oscar?
No, of course you can. Yeah, you can because you don't know.
Oh,
so
okay.
you could put your own probability. So I don't know, what are they? Let's say they have five nominees for Best Picture, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. What you'd want to do there is not who's going to win, but what's the probability. That's a good, the way you worded it, it's really good. because that's what I want to get everyone out of, because I do the same thing. So instead of saying who's going to win the who's going to win the Oscar, what you want to get in the mindset of is what's the probability of A, B, C, D, and E winning the Oscar? Mm. And that's what you want to do. So I want, I've got a 50% chance of a movie A and a 10% right. chance movie B. And that's what you want to do.
Do those probabilities need to add up to 100? Is that yes. like, okay. So yes. you can't, okay. So, right. Unless you have an option, like in the old Tiger Woods bets, the field, unless there's the field, because you can assign any probability to the field. But then again, that still needs to add up to 100, I guess.
That's right. With the field, you're going to add up to 100. Right. Now you'll notice, you bring that up. If you look at futures bets in when you look at the sports book, they're going to add up to a number greater than that. And that's just taking into account the fact that they're taking a vig and juice on these events. So okay. if you add up all the probabilities on a event, like
it's
always going to be higher because they're factoring in, they're giving a higher percentage of probability of the outcome, of each one of those teams. So if you took the NFL, Super Bowl futures, for instance, and you took a probability and then added them up, you're like, well, this comes out to over 100% probability. And the reason being is they're giving you a slightly lower price on each one of these teams than what they actually think. You know, if they think that there's a 50% chance of an outcome, just like if we're picking against the spread, mm-hmm. of course they're factoring in somewhere close to 53%, right? So if you looked at both teams in you'll be at like 105, 106% if you just looked at a two team event. Probability, right? So if you take a point spread in a game is 6.5, well, the probability of one side or the other winning is 100%, right? One of them has to win that.
Right. Bet. Unless it's a tie.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. If it's 6.5, let's say it's a 6.5%. The team may not win, but plus 6.5, someone has to win, right? With the
somebody points. Has to, I got you. Okay.
But if you add those two up, it's going to come up to a number over 100, right? There's not a greater than 100% chance one of these teams wins, but that's the juice. So when you do it with like Super Bowl futures, if you went and added them all up, it's going to come up to a number greater than 100 because that's how they're taking in their, they're taking, taking into account the juice. And that's also, I think we've spoken about that on futures before, but yeah, the juice on futures is often far greater than it is on your regular bets on a game, individual bets. But anyway, that was really what I want to start getting people in the mindset of, come up with some ideas, do it with your friends. You know, you're bored. Everyone's looking to play games, play online poker with their buddies or whatever. Come up with a little contest, and you can do it on a weekly basis. Again, the formula is really simple. Someone just needs a spreadsheet and track it. But it's a good exercise to get into, and it's a good way to train yourself on thinking a little bit more. Just thinking differently than just saying, I wonder what the odds are on the election. Checking out your sports book, seeing that Donald Trump's a minus whatever 120 favorite, and saying, do I agree with that or do I not? As opposed to sitting down, taking a little time, throwing in all the factors that we spoke about today and maybe some of your own, and calculating them in. And I think I started to touch on where I was going with that, with the just how to kind of incorporate the whole thing. And I don't think I got there. But if we took, when I was mentioning with the president, with the election, if you took the economy and said, let's just say that was the only real factor involved here. So you've got, let's say you've mapped out you've got the polls, and the polls say one thing. And let's say that we're at 50% that Trump win. You've got it at a 50-50 shot. But you say, we're not going through coronavirus in this hypothetical world. We say that unemployment, as long as it stays under 4%, I will, I'll give Trump about the same percentage. But as it gets over 4%, as it gets every percentage point over, or every tenth of a point over 4%, let's say, you decrease his probability by X. You've got to factor that in. Now, what's the probability of that happening? So play with it. I don't want to get too complicated. Of course, you could always hit us up on, you know, I'm curious if people come up with some good ideas, you know, hit us up on Twitter or if you're on YouTube, you know, shoot comments down. It would be a fun discussion.
Definitely hit the comments. That helps us out in getting the algorithm for people to see the podcast. So if you're so inclined, if you want to reach him on Twitter, he's at Statsational. That's John Alicia, professional sports better you're talking to. I'm Alan Sislowski. Just a quick break in the action here that if you want to join us over at SportsBet Army, you know, right now I know it's a weird time, not a lot of live sports, but over at SportsBet Army, we have a lot going on, doing the Korean baseball, doing the esports, League of Legends. I mean, we have our sheets. People are actually winning money that stuck around at SportsBet Army. And if you want to sample it, if you want to get a couple free months, just go to Twitter. It's at SportsBet Army. Right. Is that the Twitter? Let's just make sure I'm giving the or at DFS Army. And you you can just ask us how to get a couple free months. We know that times are tough, that you're strapped for cash. So we're giving out a couple free months when you make a small deposit in one of our affiliated sports books. Now, even when times are tough, you know, you got to have entertainment. So we're doing this valuable podcast. But if you want to learn more about this, if you're an experienced better, want to fix leaks in your game, John Alicia and his team over there, they'll help you out. I mean, there's, you know, if you're new to sports betting, it's great for everybody. So go check us out over there. The new website, Sports Bet Army, has some information on as well. I'm sorry, John. All right, back to the action here.
No, so just what you're saying there, you know, we've been doing some of these more, you know, some of the wackier sports stuff that we wouldn't have bet on in the past, for sure. I was doing, right when this all started, right when they started shutting down all the U.S. sports and the real the sports that we typically like to bet on and give out our picks on, I was betting Russian soccer, Turkish soccer, and Australian soccer.
Sounds now, funny just to hear about it.
Yeah,
you know?
But here's the thing, and this really ties into what we've been talking about. When you start to train yourself on the things that we've talked about in this podcast and certainly other podcasts. Now, you can adapt a lot more, a lot easier to these other sports and other types of betting, because then it becomes a factor of just what data do I need, right? And that's what the guys are doing. I mean, we've got Anthony in there. He's doing like Belarus, hockey or basketball. I'm sorry, Belarus, you know, things like that. We've got Korean baseball going on now. And the guys are doing well because they've got a base, right, for other sports, for the same sport maybe that we're more used to, the NHL or the NBA, NCAA basketball, and they could take that. They could, as long as we could come up with the data, because these guys are trained in how to compile the data, how to take that data, put it in their models, and then give you an answer. They may not know. And that's one thing. It's great to know every single player and every guy on the bench, and you know, you're an expert in MLB and you're the smartest guy. That's why I always say, you know, when they put these experts on TV, the Jimmy Johnsons, the Howie Longs and all these guys, they're in no way going to be able to pick games better than the experts.
And my favorite, by the way, my favorite is like when there'll be like a 14 or 16 point favorite in NFL, and the guys, you know, the Ravens are favored by 16 over the Browns, and they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take the Ravens in this one. No, pick it against the spread. And
yes.
Then, you know, just like on Inside the NFL, they never pick against the spread. They just pick the winner. It's like,
right.
If I
and
could
they
do
still
that,
do it poorly.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. And then you see like their record. They're like 500 against the spread. I mean, if you could pick with no spread, if you could just at even money, not at poor odds, at -110 with no spread for the NFL, what would you conservatively think your win percentage would be picking five games a week for 16 weeks? If you could pick with no spread and everything was -110.
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be as high as you think.
I mean, would it be 60%?
Yeah, you'd probably be in that range. Yeah,
I'm saying you, John Alicia.
Oh, me personally, yeah, I would like to think I'd be over
65%.
But it's not as easy as you think.
Well, maybe that's an interesting exercise.
7 point spreads, you're going to win around a seven point favorite wins about 73% of the time, something like that.
So how about this? Like, this would be an interesting exercise. Every underdog, you would still get the odds for the underdog if you picked money line, but only when you picked favorites with money line, you would get it at minus 110. I'm talking about like putting all the odds in your favor,
You know, that's it'd be tough to lose money that way.
Right.
But like I said, but people look at these guys, and the point was, hey, those guys know way more about football and the baseball commentary, basketball than I'll ever know. I didn't play professional football. You know, I certainly don't know the game as well as a Jimmy Johnson or, you know, I know it as well as I can know it from a fan's point of view. But even if I took the coaches involved in the game, right, they're not going to be able to predict the score. Of course, they can manipulate the point spread and things like that. But the point is, just because you are an expert in a sport doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a great handicapper in that same sport. So it's building up these tools, having the ability to then adapt. And you've seen that the guys over at the Sportsbook Army have been able to do that because they have their models for these other sports. And now it's just a question of, can I get the same data that I have in the NBA for this other basketball league? Or can I get the same data, in soccer, what I was doing in the soccer leagues? As long as I can get the data, I can plug that in. I don't know. I didn't know a single player. I never even heard of these teams. We wound up doing, and then of course these leagues all got canceled as well. But I think we were like 12-3 in the soccer matches for leagues I had never heard of, because I was getting the data. And so if you understand it, just how to go about it, it's problem solving, and if you could, and that's why I want everyone to start doing these little forecasting exercises. I think it's a ton of fun if you're, you know, if you're so inclined. Then, like you said, the people watching this podcast are the types of people who are going to be interested in doing that sort of thing. Come up with a contest with your friends. Comment below on like, hey, this is my prediction, or this is the one I'm shooting for. Again, with all the stuff going on, there's plenty of good numbers. They're bad numbers, but there's plenty of good data to look at with this coronavirus that you could come up with anything. You know, there'll be a vaccine by April 1st, 2021. There'll be, you know, come up with all sorts of things. And then
not a vaccine that works, just a vaccine.
Just a vaccine that they're pushing on the public by April 1st. You know, whatever the case is.
That's not called Clorox bleach.
No, let's not inject ourselves with Clorox. But there's so many things. But what it's going to do is train you for when sports do come back on how to go about coming up with the probabilities, coming up with the odds for your own for bets that you will actually want to make against a bookie. So
cool.
I think it's a good exercise, and also get that book, the Super Forecasters book. I think it's going to be an interesting read for those of you who have not read it as of yet.
I'm definitely going to do that. That sounds interesting to me. All right, that sounds like a good place to wrap it up. What a great comeback for you, John Alesia, as far as the Beat the Bookie podcast. This, of course, was spawned by me getting a couple of tweets asking, when are we coming back? So we are now refocusing our attention as sports are looking like they have a little bit of momentum to get back. Obviously, the UFC coming up this weekend is going to be a welcomed addition to our lives. I'm sure you'll be making some wagers there. I'll be in the Sports Bet Army Slack chat looking what your picks are, what some of the other experts' picks are. John Alesia, at StatStational on Twitter. I'm Alan Cislowski, at Alan Cislowski on Twitter as well. We're doing a ton of off-season fantasy football content on Instagram, at Alan Fantasy Football. I'm trying to push that. So if you're on Instagram, give me a follow, at Alan Fantasy Football, if you're into off-season fantasy football. All right, John, thanks for all the great information today. And we will try to come back again weekly, or at least every 10 days, and give the people something valuable that is an evergreen podcast. I'll talk to you soon.